Hey, good evening, everybody. Welcome back. This is episode 321 of the SCB Steelers podcast presented by Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. Yes, Ben, that is 321.
Wow.
It's a lot of these.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Welcome to you. Welcome to Mr. Scarpino. And welcome to those currently jumping on and joining us live. I see Jen is in. Hello, Jen.
Comments.
And,
Jen, yeah.
Yeah, hey, Jen. You know, I'm sure some of the juvenile delinquents will be along shortly.
The usual suspects,
you know, they're probably going through withdrawals because we didn't have a show last week.
And
congratulations to my son, who's now officially graduated from high school. You know, he'll realize what a basic achievement that is at some point in his life, but right now it's a big deal. In any case, and also a very quick shout out to a young lady, former student of mine. She has been the starting shortstop at Florida State University softball for the last 3 or 4 years. She is one of the toughest kids I have ever known. She's been through so much stuff, and she had just a wonderful, wonderful career at Florida State. Unfortunately, they got beat by Oklahoma tonight, and that's it. Sooners are your national champs, but Josie had a great career, and it's been a pleasure. So, and Ian is here. So the band is officially back together. Ian is back. Ben still sucks. Wow. Ian coming in strong.
Wow, I've been gone for a few weeks. So, you know.
Wow. Holy schnikes. That's
it's just fucking rude. And I'm sensitive and stuff.
It is. I mean,
I'm over here in tears. I'm just trying to hold them back.
Yeah. I'm sure somebody get Ben a tissue for God's sakes. Man alive. I hope everybody's well. I see Claude and Chris and Joe and George, everybody's jumping on here. And
right on.
And of course, thanks to everyone who, listens at your own leisure as well. And right out of the gate, let's just get to what everybody's drinking tonight. Scarpino, what do you have there? Is that another Lagunitas or something like that?
Yeah, it's a little something, something.
Something. Okay. Is that the name of it?
It's called a little something, something. It's got a little doggy on the can.
Oh, it's standing.
I thought Mrs. Scarpino said you weren't allowed to drink anymore or something.
Oh, God.
You know,
is that a...
No, that's never been the case. I'm just,
mistaken?
No, it's never been the case. I just, you know, as you can see somewhere here, over here, that is spit up.
Nice.
That I have a variety of
spittles,
a spittle
yeah,
on my shirt. No, there's never been a rule, but I will say this: exactly two months ago, after one of these shows, when I was pretty buzzed up, her water broke.
That's right,
and that was. And
tried to warn you. Tried to warn you.
He's 2 months today, and I do remember that night. I think after the show, Ben had said, like, oh, man, is the missus let you drink? And I'm like, it's okay. Nothing's fucking going to happen. 4 hours later, oh, shit, you know?
Life sobers lesson. You up real fast.
Yeah. That it does. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Great like that. Ben, what did you have there? Was that Yellowstone?
Is that it was Yellowstone.
Okay.
And this is, it's quite delicious. I'm going to recommend this.
I've seen it.
It's a little bit overproof, 93.
Okay.
Really nice and smooth. Out of Lebanon, Kentucky. So it's the good Kentucky bourbon.
Kentucky bourbon. Ian, what do you got tonight?
I have Sam Adams Summer Ale in a Steel City Blitz glass. So
outstanding. And is that coming from your keg?
It is coming from my keg, yes.
That terrific.
Right back there over my
shoulder.
So
I haven't had that beer in a couple of 3 or 4 years. It's actually pretty tasty.
It's a nice summer beer.
It's got a little citrus to it. It's a really good, like, after yard work beer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, just even like a good, just warm day beer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice summer beer. It really is.
I'm still working. I just really enjoy this Redemption Rye. It is, I look forward to it. I just save it for down here every Thursday night. I will tell you guys quick.
Even when he sets it down, like, lightly on his table in front. It still like gives us the drum effect.
There, even lighter. Real quick, I bought a couple bottles of Bradshaw bourbon this week.
Oh.
And well, one of them, I ended up giving both away. And I'm going to go back and get more. I gave one to my son's soccer coach, his longtime coach. Their season came to an end, which means, you nice. Know, he's aged out now. So he's off to college to play. And so I gave his coach a bottle. And I'm telling you what, this guy sent me a picture. I swear, 15 minutes after the season ended, he was at home on his deck enjoying the Bradshaw bourbon. you know, so I'm just glad that we can spread the love, even though the fine people at Bradshaw Bourbon have not recognized how much we do for them.
I agree.
I you know, it's about damn time that they get on board with this. But in any case,
they really should sponsor our show.
Yeah, they really should. You know, Deck would have no problem. Yeah, see, that's what it looks like, and it's fantastic. I haven't found the rye yet.
It is quite delicious. I have tried the rye. That's good too.
Okay.
This is batch number one.
Oh yeah.
This one will not be opened. Yeah. That and eventually I'm going to find a batch number 12.
Yeah. I was not the, be these were either. The ones I bought were still batch two.
Oh, batch two is a good one. I had batch two.
Yeah. I've had 1, 2, 3. I think I've had a 5.
Ben owns all the batches.
Yeah, no, you just, you know, it's even the Charlie, draw, right?
I was just about to say, what about Charlie Bash?
The Charlies and the Barons.
And George, to answer your question, it is an SCB beer glass is what that is. Let me know. I'll order more.
If Mark's school year ever ends, he may.
Hey, tomorrow is the last day.
Stuff to our loyal listeners.
I got one more exam to give tomorrow morning, and then that's it. Year 27 over. So,
still, Dad.
Good for me. Yes, sir.
Can you give us a question on tomorrow's exam and see if any of us get this right?
That's a good idea. I love it. That's a great idea. It's the off season. Let's do it.
Okay. Let's see here.
We don't have to buzz in. We don't have to buzz in, but.
No. I'll just, tomorrow morning is my 7th hour sociology exam.
Sociology.
Yeah. So, really a lot of the questions are related to things like, culture and researching, others and, socialization, things right, like well, this. So,
throw so like a softball here.
Yeah. So, one question, might be something along the lines of, is it fair to say that the elderly go through similar experiences as teenagers and middle-aged people do when it comes to things like love and jealousy? What would you answer to that?
Yes. They fucking regress. They become children from practical experience. They regress. They go backward.
Yeah, they go from wearing a diaper at birth to wearing a diaper at death, basically.
Yes, that and so I mean my mother, when she was going through it with her own mother, swore to me that she would never do this. Yeah. Never ever. It was not gonna happen. Yeah, right. Yeah. It is fucking happening.
Basically
it means, you know, as much as I fucking hate it now, I'm probably gonna do the same thing.
I appreciate that we just got a little spiritual on this on the SC Blitz podcast, because ideally you come into this world, you leave this world the same way you come into this world. Someone taking care of you.
Yeah, you really
probably,
do.
Probably needing assistance with bodily fluids and things of that nature. And it's wild to think about that, but yeah.
Yeah, so we talk about those things.
You know,
we
things
talk
of
about,
that nature, you know, if you will, quite
yes,
frankly.
sociologists and some of those things, you know, self-concept and all those wonderful things. So I'm sure the kids are all at home just studying their little hearts out right now.
You mean they're not watching our show?
I was just going to say,
God, I hope
every person tuning in is going to get that answer correct tomorrow. And you're like, right. I shouldn't have fallen for that.
You told me that wasn't on the test. Well, it's on the test. The Steelers are in OTAs. They actually wrapped up some OTAs today. Next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, they will have the official mini camp, if you will. And then after that, they go on summer break until July 27th, when that's the official day that they'll report to Latrobe for training camp this year. And we'll get into that in a minute. But Ben, anything coming out of OTAs right now that has caught your attention at all?
No, because it's football in shorts.
Exactly.
And so, I mean, some kid from Morgan State wanted to go against Minka.
And it went yesterday. About as expected.
It didn't go real well. But by the same token, they're not even in pads. So it's what if he had one? So what?
Right.
Props to the kid for calling out Minka and being like, I want to go against the best.
Well, and that's the kind of the way you look at it, too. It's like, I appreciate the kid's enthusiasm.
Yep.
But at the same time, okay, it kind of went as most people would expect it to.
Maybe he wanted a taste of what it was really like, you know? And so he's like, you know, who's the best guy on this team? Yeah, I want to go against Minka.
Okay. Well, yeah, it kind of reminds me of the old Field of Dreams thing where the guy gets the one chance to bat, you know? And for this kid, he probably thought, this is my one chance to go against an all pro. Let me see how I do.
Fuck, you got nothing to lose. Odds are stacked against you.
Yep.
I mean, everybody thinks you're going to lose. So if you lose, it's not, you know, but if you win, know?
Yeah.
And even if you're like respectable in that situation, you know, it's like, look at this guy.
I guarantee you the coaches won't forget this kid, you know? So if he goes on to maybe gets involved in coaching or something down the road and you run across him again, who knows?
Ian, who is the Baron Batch was the seventh round running back from Texas Tech, right?
Yep. Yeah,
that came in and right away. He wanted to go against Harrison, and
he held his own against like Vince Williams or some. There was somebody in like a backs on backers drill.
Right. He held his own against Timmons. Harrison,
it was Timmons. Yeah,
Harrison ate his lunch, and I want to say that it was at the end of Jason.
Jason Worlds.
Jason Worlds.
Might have been, that might have been
like at the very end of his tenure, and he held his own against Worlds.
Yeah, so yeah, a lot of people.
You know,
he flashed.
He flashed in camp, and especially as a pass protector, and he wanted to go against the best pass rushers right out of the gate, and he was respectable, and so he got. Obviously
more reps.
But I mean, he got reps in games in season and he just couldn't stay healthy.
Didn't he have the knee injury like right at the beginning or at the end of camp or something
thought his knee injury was coming out of college. I thought he had a really bad knee injury in college.
Is that what it was?
He had injury questions and then he tore his ACL late in camp. I remember that.
Yes.
But in 2012, I know he had meaningful snaps and carries in a game against the Titans on the road that I think we lost. Those 2012, 2013 years were just don't want to remember those. But
2013 was like the worst Steelers defense remember in like –
He
since and 2002
and he ended or up,
2003.
He,
fucking horrible.
He ended up like honestly, he ended up doing so much better without football. He had like an art studio. He still does. He had he's involved in a variety of things.
He's still in Pittsburgh, isn't he?
Yeah, in Pittsburgh, he's doing fine.
Him and John Malecki kind of went in together.
That's right, Ian.
Baron got into painting, and John Malecki did like woodworking.
Yes,
and they kind of had this little place down in Homestead where they like John made tables, and Baron painted them, and then they sold them to people and stuff. Yeah. It was kind of a cool little.
You want to? You know what? Speaking of John Malecki, good, really good dude, local dude, great story. We talk about this on the show a lot about how it's a business and it's a cruel business. John Malecki made the 53. I can't remember what year it was, but John Malecki made the 53, and that night one of the equipment dudes texted me and said, "Hey, we're down the south side, down the south side." And I never ever went to the south side, but I was like, "Yeah, fuck it, you know, whatever. I'm young, let's do it." And we went down, and John Malecki was there, and we were just drinking, having a good time, like Like it was just he's a good dude. We were dancing to like Genesis, I Can't Dance. Remember that shit? You know,
I can't dance.
You know? And literally, and I just remember like I was drunk, but I remember like just like sharing a I remember we bought shots, snake bites, Yukon Jack and lime juice, whatever. And I remember just being like, dude, congrats to you, man. You deserve this. And literally the next day they cut him for Cody Wallace. And in the long run, that helped the Steelers because Cody Wallace is a pretty good backup and serviceable. But Malecki ended up hanging around on the practice squad. Yep. So, you know, it's what it is. But you know, if John Malecki, if you're watching and you want to make me, you know, a bench or whatever, fuck yeah, let's do it. You
know?
Horse or something.
Yeah.
Matt and I actually interviewed Baron Batch on our old podcast, and he was just, I was really blown away how down to earth he was and just a real good kid. And I remember him telling us that he drinks nothing but water. He would not drink anything else but water. And I remember just going,
didn't
like,
didn't he have a thing where he wouldn't drink anything but purified water?
Maybe. At
like
that
it had to be distilled.
That dude had a frame. Like, let's be honest. Like, I understand why people only drink water.
Right. Yeah. Good living right there. But
clean living right here, too.
Well, yes. Can't argue that. Get you up there. Scarps, anything you're hearing from OTAs that maybe of note?
You know, I didn't think about it until you said it.
Mm-hmm.
It's been so quiet, and my God, some of the best times in my career when it was just nobody did anything stupid, nobody said anything dumb, and very few times, like there was always somebody that said something stupid, but like, yeah, like you know. I'm sure the Steelers PR team is very happy that it's been quiet. You know, I saw they had a team building.
Chris, I'm sorry, my status is not about you.
What status?
I changed my name again once Mark takes the comment off.
Matt Canada does suck.
Matt Canada, also the wildfires in Canada.
I was going to say, those wildfires.
Firefighting techniques are not very good either.
You know, if the Canadians had just remembered to rake their forests, this never would have happened.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
If they had just remembered to rake the forests, geez.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, that's Canada. Quebec, too. So Quebec and the rest of Canada are kind of like.
How do they say Quebec? How do they say
Quebec like in France?
No.
Yeah,
they're in the middle of fucking Canada. How do they say sorry in
sorry.
French? In French. I mean, is there a French accent on the sorry? Because you know the Canadians and they're always so polite. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just asking. I don't know.
I don't know.
I think it's sorry, eh?
It's something like that.
Sorry, eh?
Sorry, eh?
Hey, so one thing I did want to bring up about camp, because I just realized this, and it's completely ancillary to camp. This is my second whiskey.
It's fine.
Are any of you following Larry O on Twitter, Larry Ogunjobi?
I do, but I can't say I've noticed
what he's been
tweeting lately.
I would check that out every day. He seems like a really decent human being, like a really decent guy, even though he did try and beat up Mason Rudolph once, so Scarves probably won't like him, but
like no Steeler has ever done something stupid on the
field. No.
Mike Mitchell,
that's never happened.
Clean record. You know, it's funny you brought him up, because I'm starting to wonder. I mean, obviously you can think about the
main that's a good one.
The TJs, and certainly as being your most important players. I would argue that Ogunjobi has to be up there on the list of guys that are going to be really important this year.
Less so than last year, but yeah, very important.
I think there's a leadership and a locker room element that he brings too, you can't measure that in statistics, but if you just look at like how happy Cam and TJ and all those guys were when they brought him back, I think that says something for what kind of teammate he is.
Completely,
how happy they were when he came back.
I think that's a very important point.
You know, I mean, there are a number of guys in that unit whose days are numbered, but Larry is certainly not one of them, and he's been a really pleasant addition to that group.
And truly. I love what I love about it, and I've said this on the show, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not comparing to Troy Polamalu, but I'm saying that Troy Polamalu never really had to practice, and Larry O was the king of, like, did not limited or did not did not limited, and then he played on Sunday, and like to me, like Mr. No practice, doesn't matter if he has participation, we don't need to leave the light on for him.
I mean,
we
there,
him, you know,
there like, were he never practiced on Wednesdays last year because he was never like 100%. His foot was never 100%. He often didn't practice on Thursdays, so he'd go through like the Friday workout, which is basically a walkthrough, and then he'd play on Sunday, and he played well. I mean, the guy, and now, now he's 100% healthy. So,
well, and that's, I, you know, when I look at the rest of that defensive line, I just think that he's an important guy. And as guys like, maybe Keanu Benton comes along and DeMarvin Leal, and, you know, some of these guys come along a little bit, and who knows what the hell they're going to do with Leal yet, but
you've got a guy in Fajoco who's going to be a good run, run plugger, right?
Yeah.
So he can spell those guys on early downs. He'll probably be the starting nose tackle is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your Leals and your Benton's behind those, you know, the two starters. And I'm not going to say that Larry's not important this year, but last year having him play on Sunday was fucking crucial.
Yeah, right? It was.
Because what was behind him was nothing.
Yeah.
It was nothing.
Yeah, it was bad.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Wormley was their best depth defensive lineman, and he was awful against the run.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. So yeah, this year, less important because Leal's got a year, you know, in already. So he's going to be better this year. You've got Benton, who already is a pretty good defensive lineman. He could play now if you had to play him.
His athleticism has been pretty impressive. Benton, he's a former wrestler. Really good high school wrestler.
It's leverage, man. He knows leverage.
Yep.
Yeah.
And that's crucial for a defensive lineman.
Yeah.
Either side of the line.
Benton, to me, and we talked about this before the draft, like he lit it up at the Senior Bowl, but when you watched his college tape, it almost looked like he took plays off. But I think he approached the Senior Bowl like, this is my audition for a job, right? Like, this is my job interview. I have to go out here and kick everybody's ass. And he did. And if he brings, it's really, I mean, some of that falls to the coaches, like find that switch and keep it turned on. Cause who is the giant ass dude from Tennessee? Daniel McCullers.
Right?
Like when he got angry, it didn't happen often, but when he got angry,
the fuck out.
Yeah.
Like,
he was an absolute wrecking ball.
His teammates would talk about it. They'd be like, when you came out of the huddle and he was pissed off, you were like, oh, yeah, this guy is fucked.
Yeah.
I don't want to be that guy at all.
Right. And you just have to find a way to keep that switch turned on Sundays.
I never understood how you just can't be pissed off every snap.
It doesn't necessarily have to be anger. It has to be a certain level of intensity, right?
Yeah. Well,
you got to be able to ratchet up, and you got to be able to do it like that.
But also,
and some of those guys just can't.
But also, I mean, I guess at the end of the day, it's all mental. It's all mental. Like it's all mental.
For
like,
sure, Jarvis Jones is another example.
Yeah,
like, the guy was just too fucking nice.
Like it's you could be good. You're fine.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say I have a hard time believing that a guy like Cam Hayward is gonna let Keanu Benton take plays off.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's,
I mean,
just,
he played next to Dan McCullers for four years.
It's a great point, Ben. And I'm sure he tried his damnedest
to motivate Dan, and he just couldn't.
No.
So there's some guys. Hello, Aaron. How are you? There's some guys that just can't.
It's just not in their DNA.
I said, Jarvis Jones.
Yeah.
Another example. I mean, great athlete, strong guy.
Not a great athlete,
but okay.
Highly productive. Ian, I love you, bro, but I'm going to disagree. I think he was a very good athlete. I just don't think he was good enough to play at this level.
That, I mean, for sure.
He dominated in college, but it was just, I mean, his athletic testing was not good. His life three tech. Cone was horrible.
Numbers aren't everything. I'm just saying. Okay. I'm just saying.
Yeah. So I wasn't here last week, so can I talk about the offense for a minute?
No. Yeah, cool. Sure. No.
Well, none of us were here last week.
Ian, oh, that's so right. Good. 2 weeks ago. I wasn't here two weeks ago either, though.
That's true.
So the one thing, and I know it's football and shorts, it's still really early. I don't want to read too much into anything, but I think, like, Kenny Pickett's been saying the right things, and his teammates are saying good things about him, about, like, how much further along they are this year than they were in previous years. And mm-hmm. I think there was even a quote from, it was probably tail end of last week, where Kenny said something like, you know, last year, the first week of OTAs, we installed one package and tried to figure that out. And this year we already have like four or five installed. So we're like already farther along. Now, Matt Canada sucks. So it remains to be seen whether or not that actually shows up as more than a high school offense once they get to the field in the fall.
They're a year out.
I hope it does.
They're a year out.
Yeah, but nevertheless, I think it's encouraging that it seems like they're in a better spot this year than they were last year. And really last year, they had no idea who was going to play quarterback. So like, oh, Mitch is our starter, but everyone mm-hmm. kind of knew like Kenny was the guy in waiting and was, mm-hmm. you know, like maybe Kenny sits the whole first year. Maybe if Mitch sucks, he sits. I mean, I thought it was going to be 8 weeks. I thought Kenny was going to start the Saints game.
Right.
I'm on the record on the show many times saying that. And they brought him against the Jets. So, you know, it was, the leash was shorter than I thought it was, but nevertheless, like, There's much more certainty this year, and Kenny has more rapport with his starting receivers, and it seems like they're trending in the right direction. The problem is what happens when they get on the field on Sundays in the fall. But, you know,
well,
it seems
having a respectable run
shorts,
game, though.
Yeah,
having a respectable run game will help them. Yeah, a great deal, and you know, yeah, the line is much improved. Najee came into last season far less than 100%. Hopefully he's better this year. The depth at running back isn't outstanding, but it's adequate. So I expect and Darnell Washington. And I forgot about that. The sixth offensive lineman.
Sixth offensive lineman.
Jesus Christ, that kid is huge.
I'd
expect the run game to be a lot better. That's all I'm saying. And,
I do
and it'll
too.
Help a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
Scarps.
No, it seems like, I'm just saying, better. It seems like they're trending in the right direction, but there's big question mark of like what happens when they actually put the pads on and get on the field and have to call actual plays instead of just playing in shorts.
What happens when they have to throw the fucking ball and count on Matt Canada to design a passing scheme that's worth a shit? Because they're going to be in that position at some point this year where they're way behind and they need points and they're going to need Canada to actually be competent. And he's going to throw fucking bubble screens and jet sweeps, and we're going to lose our shit and run some comebacks and some curl routes. We're going to be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing?
It sounds just like that, too.
It does.
I mean.
The one thing I'll say to that is, you know, it seems like the Steelers have gone out and signed or drafted guys who are very good at combat catches, right? They like Allen Robinson isn't a good separator, but he's one of the best like combat catch guys mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. in the league when he's healthy, right? And he's been that way since college. He was never a good separator at Penn State. He could never get separation, but he can go up and battle defensive backs for the ball. So you know, they got Allen Robinson, they got obviously George Pickens,
right?
The other thing too, since I haven't been on the show since Kenny was on Ben Roethlisberger's podcast, I think Ben asked Kenny what his favorite route to throw was. And I think he said it was a comeback route. So he said he liked the timing of it. So, but part of me wonders, you know, as a rookie quarterback, did they design
easy
some
to complete?
Of the, yeah. Did they design some of the offense to be like, all right, Kenny, you like this route. We're going to call it for you so you can, you know, have something easy here that you like.
I mean, that's a route. Let's throw a comeback.
It's a good question
to a guy who gets bracketed all game long, because and the defense will let him catch it because they're just like, our only concern here is just to make sure he doesn't get yards after the catch.
Yeah.
So we got a guy here and a guy here, and he's in the middle. We let him catch it. It's fine. No yards after. No yak. Boom. Minimally effective. Let's throw that shit over and over and over again. That's great.
And to me, that has nothing to do with Pickett as much as it has to do with Canada.
Yeah.
And I looked this up earlier today. The fewest points in any five game span since 2000 for the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
All three occurrences happened in 2022.
Huh. Wow. I would have thought 2019 too, but
they had 2019 was the fourth, but they had they had 66 in 2 5 game spans last year. And then they had 70 in a five game span last year. And forgive me for when Casey joins the show later, but I don't even call it pessimism, but forgive me for not making these outlandish predictions or what have you, because Matt Canada is still the coordinator and I don't care. That's the other thing too. I don't give a shit so much that they don't score that many points. If they have an effective running game and they take time off the clock and they have a good scoring offense when it comes to percentage wise, mm-hmm. A good red zone percentage,
right.
I'm fine with that. Because if you win 24 to 20 games that way, fine and dandy. But far too often the past 2 years, they were winning 24 to 20 games by just fucking winging it and hoping that Ben pulled it out of his ass, or Kenny did. And the defense played well enough to get them to that point. They need an identity. They need organization, whatever you want to call it. And to me, with a revamped offensive line, I love you, Naj. If you watch, I appreciate you.
Of course,
but you know what? They drafted you one overall. If you don't get that second contract, that's not my problem. But like, you need to be that dude this next year.
Najee's going to be 29 when his contract is up.
Yeah,
I don't know that he's going to get a second contract.
Look what the Vikings did.
But my point is, as much as I've said they're going to run the wheels off of him, and I hate that, I'm looking at it now. It's like, I don't know if they necessarily have a better option than to do that.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
That is the best option on the offense. Yeah, it definitely is. And I think there was who was it? Was it Darnell Washington who talked about the points per game? There was somebody on the offense. I think it was last week. It was the first week of OTAs.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about how the coaches have been like drilling or like the first day, we're like, look, we got to score more points. Like, the two teams that were in the Super Bowl were first and third in the league in points scored for the last 3 years. We've talked about that for,
yes.
I mean, I've tweeted, that chart that I have that the two teams
honestly,
in the Super Bowl have been the top seven in scoring offense for
even if they averaged
like the
23
last 10 years.
Or 23 and a half, it would be a huge jump.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And it doesn't put them in that stratosphere of Super Bowl contender, but 23 would be respectable.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Steelers.
And honestly, I think like the 10th best team in the league has been around like 24, 25 points a game the last couple of years. So last year offense was atrocious. I mean, the Vikings had a fucking good scoring offense last year. Yeah.
Vikings won 13 games and then took a shit in the fucking playoffs.
Because Kirk Cousins is their quarterback. I mean,
It's also because
Daniel Jones.
That defense was literally
the worst defense
I've ever watched. They were
and we signed
their nickel.
We signed their nickel and an edge corner.
Now don't get me wrong.
A lot of the issue with that defense was design. Like, they just let guys run free. Mm-hmm. Like, no one covered them. They had this weird zone. That was like kind of a zone cover two combo. It was like there was this giant area in the middle that was just always open, and quarterbacks were just hit.
Yeah.
They were like,
that's what Jones did all game.
You're going to give me 15 yards just to throw the fine. I'll take it. And my guy, maybe he'll make something happen and maybe he won't, but I'm moving the sticks. And they just do it the whole game long.
Just to go weird. Back to Pickett for a minute, you know, Connor Hayward talked today.
Maybe it was Connor that said it about the points per game. I
know he specifically talked about Pickett, how he's really kind of commanding the huddle and commanding the locker room without looking like he's doing it. And I thought, okay, it's two guys that came in together. But then the guy that said something was Allen Robinson, who said, I'm really impressed with what Pickett's doing, says a lot of the right things, gets people in the right places, very impressed with you. So when he spoke up, then I paid a little more attention. And that's no disrespect to Connor Hayward. It's just that he's a young guy like Pickett is. So when the vets start talking about it in a positive way, I like that. And again, those are just words, and we are playing in pajamas right now. So it's not a huge thing, but it's at least a positive step forward.
Other thing that I thought was very positive this week, and I want to emphasize cautiously optimistic.
Oh,
have you seen film of Calvin Austin going into his breaks?
You're not going to get hyperbolic here, are you?
No, but I'm just going to tell you, I am very much encouraged watching this kid go into his breaks and get out of him. I'm like, can he do that with pads on? It isn't just that he's quick. He's smooth.
Yeah. Sinks the hips. He's
boom. Yeah. And you're like, what the? Wow. No wonder they drafted this kid. I mean, honestly, if he can do that consistently in pads, when they're playing for real, he may make Allen Robinson unnecessary.
I think they
that's
would
a hot take.
Don't they have to come up with, and I know I'm realizing I'm talking about Matt Canada here. They're going to have some different packages where they go with a Calvin Austin in a slot, but also where they go with Allen Robinson in a slot, maybe goal line, red zone packages. Red zone, yeah. 'Cause he's so good down there.
Red zone.
Jericho
Cotchery. I mean,
you know, they could put Darnell Washington in the slot also, or Pat Freiermuth.
Wrong.
Like you could.
That is not possible.
You could put Darnell in the slot. It'd just be funny.
Wrong. Dude, listen.
Or you could put Freiermuth in the slot.
We're talking about a fucking offensive coordinator that doesn't. that is, oh my god! Stop it! Stop.
He won me over with that Connor Hayward. End around that.
I mean, honestly,
against literally one of the worst defenses. No, I'm being a dick still with that, but I'm just saying, go ahead.
No, you're fine. I totally agree with you.
If you put Washington in and you split him out into the Y and you just threw the ball high, so you throw a 50-50 ball, right? And you're just like, hey man, here, go get it. And he grabs it. Then they got to tackle him. So I actually can see that working in the red zone. I can. It wouldn't be pretty. I'm not trying to make that case.
And no one cares about style points.
Ben, we ran a jet sweep to Chase Claypool on the 1 yard line last year.
I know. That was why.
And
we scored. Like it's, you know, it doesn't have to be pretty. It's like hockey, right? In the playoffs, you don't score pretty tic-tac-toe goals. You score by getting the puck to the front of the net and just going in there and whacking at it until it goes in, right? Yep. It doesn't matter how you score a touchdown. You score a touchdown.
I think going back to something that I don't know if it was Ben or Ian that said it, but, you know, what's going to happen? Because I think we all anticipate that the offense is going to be a run-first offense. Mm-hmm. You know, what is going to happen? Because it will occur when the team needs to throw the football.
What's going to happen? Nobody fucking knows.
Well, no.
They're going to open up the offense, but Matt Canada still coordinates it. He's actually also going to still call the plays. So,
yeah.
No, it's not.
I'm going to say it. Their running game scares me more than their passing game does, and I can't remember the last time I said that. Yeah. And if I'm an opposing defense, Kenny Pickett does not scare me. Maybe Pickens, Deontay, maybe. But Allen Robinson was poop last year. And I know Matthew Stafford was hurt, but like Allen Robinson has never been fantastic in his career. I think, you know, we inflate him a little bit because he played at Penn State. We have no idea what we're getting with Calvin Austin the third.
Nope.
I know everybody thinks he's Tyreek Hill 2.0, but you know, and also now that the kickoff rule has changed, you know, there is no, to me,
you should never return a kickoff.
Yeah. Huh?
You should never return a kickoff unless
it's
squib. You should fair catch everything.
They shouldn't, but he should be your primary kickoff guy just in case there is something that he sees. I mean, what do you like, why did you draft the guy, right? I mean, the dude's fast as hell. He's quick as hell. Put him back there, and if he sees something that nobody else does or sees something that he thinks is an opportunity, but also, so then, Ben, I agree. He does look smooth. He does look good. It is football in shorts.
Right.
But that's the one thing that the Steelers offense has been missing for a long time now.
Home run, baby.
And it's these home run players. And, you know, whether that was Ben to AB or even a couple years ago, you know, Ben to DJ, because they had that good chemistry. Mm-hmm. But it's been a long Mike Wallace. That's a long time. Like, it's been a long,
The thing I miss still is just is a Steelers offense that you knew could, from the time Ben was a rookie, you always knew that they were going to have a high third down conversion percentage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always.
Fair point. Yeah.
Yep. Okay. Because Ben would figure some shit out and he would just get it done himself, or it was third and two and he had the bus and he was just like, here's the ball. You know, third and two, you get three. You know, I miss that. I miss the fact that the opposing defense was fucking tired because they were like, shit, we cannot get these guys off the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember the Ravens yelling at each other on the other side of the field because they could not get the Steelers off the fucking field. That's what I want to see again. That. Just bludgeoning people. And
yeah. Well, nothing helps a young quarterback more than a good run game.
Oh, no. Fuck yeah.
I mean,
no.
if only we had a good offensive coordinator that could design like play action and bootlegs and rollouts off of
Ben
it.
Ben would run on some of those plays too.
Oh, yeah, he would.
Steelers Twitter says that Kenny Pickett is going to be the MVP and he's going to throw 30-plus touchdowns.
36 touchdowns and three picks. And they're going to open it up. Steelers are going to go score like 50 touchdowns this year.
It's early in the year, but I'm just going to throw this out there. Kenny Pickett, total touchdowns, passing plus rushing, over under 20.
I'm going to rate this.
Okay, what's the over under on concussions?
I don't know. I'm just
asking. I was going with that earlier.
That's a good question and a scary question.
I was going with that earlier. I was like, you know, Ben would just run for it on third downs a lot and he would get there. And it was because the defense was always like, the play has broken down. Now it's a scramble drill and they're chasing around receivers and they got their back turned to the quarterback and he's like, "Fuck, I can just run for it." And he'd run. And it was easy. It's not that kind of an offense anymore.
No.
They're not going to give Kenny Pickett those kinds of opportunities with open field in front of him, or he can just run for the first down and get it.
I agree. And we saw that when Todd Haley was brought in to save Ben's career, they're going to try to nip this in the bud right away.
Yeah.
And I think you sort of saw that towards the end of the season last year. You know, Pickett did scramble when he had to, but I think that he was more conscious of what
he's going
to
be coached
what
that
could
way.
Happen.
Yeah.
He's going to be coached that way. They're going to tell him, look, man, we need you. We need you to stay healthy. You cannot get another concussion. And they're going to put him in one of those new helmets.
He is in a new helmet. Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to put him in one of those new helmets, those great big moon helmets. And that'll help a little bit too. But, you know,
Ian,
I think we've seen that league wide too, that like, Josh Allen was getting the shit beat out of him last year in Buffalo. And you're like, there's no way this can continue. Like, he cannot do this his entire career.
Right.
Like, he cannot run a quarterback draw play on third and five every time.
He does, though. He still does.
I know. He still does. And he gets the shit beat out of him by these safeties that are just flying down 15 yards away. And
has he ever had a concussion, though? I don't know,
but he's a big kid. He's a big boy. Like the size of Ben.
Yeah, but I mean, but like even I mean, Patrick Mahomes busted up his knee the 1 year on a quarterback sneak. Like, there's it's a valid point that you like having a mobile quarterback, but you want them to be strategic in their decision making about when they do it. Absolutely. Right?
Yes.
You don't. The Bills model,
unless you're fucking Lamar Jackson. And you can just run away from everybody on the field, or Cordell going back.
You need to be
judicious about it.
The Bills and Ravens model of your quarterback being your primary runner is not sustainable in the NFL.
No.
Yes.
But being judicious, like a Justin Herbert or a Trevor Lawrence or a Patrick Mahomes, like, or even Joe Burrow, right? Like, there's times
Burrow's really good at it.
Those guys, like, they pick their spots. Actually, you know who is really fucking good at it that pissed me off was Tom Brady. Like, there was like third and fours.
Yes,
that like
that prick.
He would just like you know.
He was really good.
Looked like
same
deal though. Same deal.
Looked like Medusa running down the field. You know, yeah.
Same deal. The play has broken down. Now it's a scramble derail. He's looking for an open receiver. The DBs turn their back on him. It's like, oh well, fuck. I mean, I'm gonna get this now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Ian, did you say over under Pickett total TDs 20?
Yeah, he had 10 last year. He had 3 rushing and 7 passing. So
I'll say 20
would be my over under number.
You can't do 20. You got to do a hook. You got to do a half.
20 and a half.
There.
20 and a half.
All right.
Looking like a true degenerate in me.
Oh,
but
shit. So somebody's been on DraftKings.
Love you too,
tonight.
Ryan.
Well,
DraftKings no longer sponsors us, so we
that's
can
true.
Say
so it could
want,
be
right?
FanDuel, it could be whatever the hell you want. I guess
do whatever you want with your money and waste it away like
spend,
we all do.
Spend and waste your money.
I just made that 20 number up, so I basically just doubled last.
Let's
year,
call 20. Let's call it 20 and a half.
I got 20 and a half.
I'm gonna say
we'll do
over.
An over under show.
I'm gonna say over, but not by much. I'm gonna go with like 22. So it's that bet'll cash, but you know.
It's not going to be 30 is what you're
saying. You're all wrong. It's going to be 40 total.
75 touchdowns.
40 touchdowns. MVP conversation from the very beginning. By the way, I don't know if you guys realize this, but he played at Pitt, and he was also the Steelers' first-round pick.
In the 2020 – hey, listen – don't be writing Casey for him, okay?
I think Casey got a little pissed off.
You know what? Kenny Pickett, little teaser for you. Kenny Pickett did not make the Casey tonight.
Oh!
News flash, listeners. News flash. You know, I want to ask you guys about offensive tackle for a minute because they're doing a very nice job of talking up Dan Moore. Added some muscle, looks better, feels better, all these things.
They're trying to make him feel better before he loses his fucking job.
Well, and that's where I'm going.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you're not going to invest a first-round pick that you traded up for and have Broderick Jones sit unless he just all of a sudden forgets how to play
but
football.
You also don't give Jones the job.
Absolutely.
I agree with making him earn it. I have no problem with that whatsoever, but I've seen Dan Moore play for a couple of years and I've watched Jones tape versus SEC competition.
Yep.
And especially run blocking. There's just no comparison. No. And this is going to be a run first team.
Yep.
I'm not saying he's going to start right out of the gate. I think he probably will, but even if he doesn't, we're talking like Casey Hampton week 3 or 4, he's a starter.
Well, I think the point that you made several weeks ago is an important one, and it's the fact that Jones will get so few reps against actual contact in terms of physical play. And in the old days, that was never a problem because you didn't have these collective bargaining agreements that limited that. You know, the coaches could beat the shit out of these guys. And if it was a rookie, he was ready to play week 1. And so I think that's fair. And that's, I think, why a lot of us are kind of saying, maybe give him week 2 or 3 and then probably gets inserted. But
you know, who knows? He'll get plenty of contact during camp. He just won't get much after that.
Right.
The thing that jumps out at me about this kid, though, is especially as a left tackle, he is not a finesse player. He is just a big, nasty, strong guy.
Yep.
And he's fucking gigantic, if I mentioned that.
He's a large man. A large young man.
Very, very
smaller
large
than Darnell Washington.
But smaller than Darnell.
But a smaller frame than Darnell Washington. Weighs more, but that's, you know.
Darnell's the guy that when he came off the bus in high school and you were the high school coach, you just were like, okay, guys, just that's it. We're done. I mean, holy shit.
Yeah.
The other thing I'll say about Dan Moore, it got mentioned that like they were doing some reps with him at right tackle too, and I wouldn't read too much into that. Here's the level I read into that. Dan Moore is your third offensive tackle.
Yes.
That if there's an injury on either side, he can step in. So they want him to take reps at right tackle to learn how to play that side. Because I remember, who was it? Max 100%. Starks, I think. They tried to move him from left to right, and he was like, dude. And I think Max was left-handed too, and he was like, being left-handed, playing left tackle is more natural just because of like the way you step, the way you punch, everything, you know. He said it was like, you know, trying to like write with his right hand or like play guitar the other way. He was like, you don't think about like left tackle to right tackle being that much of a difference, but he was like, everything is backwards and it just didn't work for me. So I had to, you know, I was like, I'll be the sixth tackle. I'll come in, but I got to stay on that left side. And then, you know,
you're right. I remember
but
that.
I think, you know, so that's the depth I read into that. Chooks Okorafor's job is not on the line. It's Dan Moore is your sixth offensive lineman. He is your first tackle off the bench. And if they need a guy on either side, they want to make sure he knows what to do. So that's the level you read into it.
And you know, I said this on the show a couple weeks ago. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Like nobody, like just because you invest a first round pick in someone does not mean that it necessarily like, okay, top 10 pick probably, but like, you know, middle doesn't necessarily mean you have to start them. So, and I'm not saying that Broderick Jones is, you know, Broderick Jones and me. Okay. But I don't drink that much anymore. So when I have a couple, I really enjoy it anyway. But the point is, you know, if he doesn't start right away like that, like, and you know how social media is, or he's a bust, he fucking sucks. It's like, dude, no, maybe they don't want to expose him, but also B, they don't want to ruin Dan Moore because maybe, you know, here's the other thing. Right. I'm gonna tell you, everybody fucking ranks Myles Garrett as this top edge rusher and pass rusher, and I know he doesn't play the same position as TJ does. But Dan Moore has done a really good job against Myles Garrett every time they've played.
No, not every time. Last year, there was one game where he got his fucking lunch money taken away.
Okay, so one time out of how many games?
He's done pretty well. I mean, he's been respectable.
Yeah. You bat three out of ten in the major leagues, you get in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, when Garrett is 100%, Dan Moore is no match. When Garrett's a little banged up, a little dinged up, then Dan Moore does great against him.
And I'm going
to
say this:
talk shit to Browns fans, and I'm like, it's not quite.
And I want to be clear: I don't fucking think Myles Garrett is a scrub. I think Myles Garrett is up there. I think he's one of the best defensive ends.
Yeah,
he is a stud. And all Steelers fans, they can't get past the whole Myles TJ comparison, even though Myles never said anything. That was the media fucking blowing that up.
Right, because they were drafted the same year. It's that's all that it is.
That's all it is. But Myles was number one overall.
Myles went number 30. One. TJ went number 30, the same draft.
Oh, my God. I can't believe it. I thought Myles was a year earlier. Anyway.
Well, rival, divisional. It all ends.
But it's just like they're both great at their own. They're both great separately. They're both great at their own position, but I do think Dan Moore should get more credit. Literally, more. How do you like? Oh, I'm feeling it tonight. But, you know, I feel that Dan Moore should get more of a shot than just be like, start Broderick Jones because he's Broderick Jones. I don't know what Broderick Jones, I don't know how he's handling it behind closed doors. Maybe this is too big for him. I don't fucking know.
Well, the mental aspect can't be overlooked.
Imagine going 1-31. And your reward is the second best pass rusher in his draft class, and Baker Mayfield.
He says this over and over and over.
I mean, I still think they fucked up getting rid of Baker Mayfield. That's just my opinion.
Well,
I agree with you. And I'm really hoping that whole thing comes to fruition this year and that karma completely bites them in the ass.
Yes.
It'll be fantastic. I'll love it. And we'll see, you know?
Yeah. No, I'm right with you. What was
my first concern is the Steelers. And, you know, they're not going to be good enough this year to win a Super Bowl. That's not happening. Kenny Pickett, believe it or not, I know it's going to be hard for people to accept. You're all going to say I'm wrong, but he's not going to be in the conversation for MVP this year. It's not going to happen.
And that's okay.
Yeah, I do kind of like the fact, though, that we're flying under the radar a little bit. Like, the expectation, right? Because think about the AFC right now, right?
Yep.
Like, you know.
Well, the AFC North is viewed as very, very even, right?
Yeah.
So, the experts are picking the Steelers to win 9 games again, but finish last.
Right. You could finish fourth. Yeah.
I mean, but think about the quarterbacks in the AFC, right? You know, you've got Josh Allen, you've got Aaron Rodgers, you've got Tua, who when healthy is pretty good and has some pretty dynamic receivers. Mac Jones sucks. Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Deshaun Watson, Kenny Pickett, Trevor Lawrence, you know, some rookies.
Did you even mention Mahomes?
No, I was going by division. You know, so I was in the South.
Richardson.
Richardson and you know, whoever Houston
CJ Stroud.
Yeah,
Stroud probably. Stroud looks, we'll see.
Yeah, you got a couple.
Richardson's going to be boom bust every week.
But a couple rookies and
Bryce
then,
Young.
You know, Mahomes.
No, sorry, wrong. Yeah. Sorry. I'm dumb, but, sorry.
All right, hold on. Mahomes, Herbert, maybe Garoppolo, maybe not. Who knows what the fuck's happening in Vegas?
Right.
But anyways, you still got Mahomes,
Russell Wilson.
So, like, Kenny Pickett isn't even in the top 10 quarterbacks in the conference.
Mm-hmm.
But we're kind of flying under the radar right now. Like, nobody's talking about us, which is kind of nice after, you know, the whole, like, Steelers drama era of, you know, like, Bell and Brown and all that shit that happened where we were, like,
I love even more the media.
Like, I don't mind being a little under the radar and kind of being the underdogs and still, like, because really, even Ben's rookie year, there was a bit of that because we were 6-10 the previous year. So there was a bit of that, like, we're the underdogs and we're just coming in and going to, you know, run the ball, play tough defense and kick your ass. Right. Like Ben said earlier, if we can get back to that, where we just go in and beat the shit out of people, like, yeah, I'm good with that.
It's a shame that their offense is not even close to what that offense was, though. And I know that offense in 04 wasn't fantastic, but Ben is so much better than Kenny, even back in 04.
I'm going to go along with that. Although the offense was different in 04. It was obviously a run first offense.
Yes.
They had a Hall of Famer at guard.
Ben, what Ben was highly adaptable to situational football. So, like, he could come in, figure some shit out, make some shit happen, live for the next play, get the ball down the field, keep the drive alive. That's the hallmark to me of his career. And that he was a tough son of a bitch. I remember the Ravens breaking his fucking nose and going in at halftime, losing. Haloti Ngata, who was not penalized on that play or fined for breaking. I'm like, how the fuck?
Nope.
The guy broke his nose. How do you not flag that? And then
he punched him in the face.
Hit him like this.
Yeah. That was less than 15 years ago, too. Think about that.
A karate chop.
Think about where we are now back then.
And then they didn't fine him either.
Nope. Yeah. Oh, I know.
It's like, so he goes in, they tape his nose up, but they put a fucking eye shield over his eyes to protect his face. And he comes back out, and they're down by 7 at halftime. And he brings the team back, and they win.
Yep.
Isaac Redman receiving a touchdown.
Yes,
that was awesome. That was one of the greatest touchdowns I've ever seen in my life.
What did he broke like three or four tackles on that play, if I remember?
Right, it was that double slant route that they liked to run.
It was fucking glorious. And then they ran the same concept the next year against Brady at home with Mwelde Moore for a touchdown. And it was like a fucking 30-play, 80,000-minute drive that put them up. It put them up 7-0 in the first quarter, and it was over.
That was fantastic.
Nostalgia.
Mwelde Moore was one of the greatest unsung Steelers ever.
Yep. Great signing.
That was an outstanding signing.
Yeah.
How many games did he start because guys were hurt?
Oh, man.
Yeah.
And he was still respectable, even as a starter. Oh, yeah.
He came in and ran for 100 a couple of times.
He did. He was supposed to be a third down back and came in and was respectable as a starter a couple of times. I was like, dude, that's wow. God,
he'll always be one of those guys. Got a nice Super Bowl ring, and you know, was a huge contributor to that team.
Oh man,
and,
fuck yes, he was.
But isn't thought of as one of the great Steelers, and certainly, I'm not saying he should be, but man, he was such a good addition.
Yeah, he was.
One of the things I did want to talk about too is, and you guys brought this up in the chat, was the fact that you've got Jacksonville. Basically building a brand new stadium.
Building a shell on top of the existing stadium.
Well, it's kind of like what the Bears did at Soldier Field. They kind of built this spacecraft around it. But I'm dead serious. If you drive by Soldier Field, it looks like a spaceship just landed. But you got Jacksonville doing this, Buffalo's doing this. The Bears are going to get out of Chicago here pretty soon. They've bought a shit ton of land in the suburbs. Have the Steelers fallen behind here big time in terms of stadiums?
Fallen?
Are the Steelers behind?
How many other stadiums have you visited? Let me ask
couple?
You that.
I mean, I was in the Astrodome a few times.
Okay, so
that place was a shithole.
It was a terrible fucking shithole.
Well, they helped.
The Astrodome made Three Rivers look like a really nice stadium.
They used to hold the Houston Livestock and Rodeo there in February, and it would smell like the Livestock and Rodeo all year long. I mean, it's the horse and cow shit all year.
The Steelers Stadium is way behind, and it's not just because it's a handful of things. It's not just about the amenities or modernization or any of that shit.
Yeah,
it's small. I don't know how else to put that. Like, if you want to have other events there, there's not a lot of event space. It's not like a real event center where you can do other things besides host a football game or a concert.
So when the Stones or Kenny Chesney comes in, how many butts can you get in seats there, or how many people come in?
Ooh, that's a good question. Cause they put people on the field. For
right. Cause you
too.
Get people down
get
on
a
the
lot.
Field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So it's gotta be more than 60, but that isn't really where I was going with it. It's like, it's all of the, if you go to the stadium in Seattle, there's a complex around the stadium before you go in that is an entertainment complex. So the whole concept of tailgating and all that, you don't necessarily have to do that out in parking lots. You can just go up to the stadium and you can buy food and you can buy drinks and everybody's hanging out. It's fun. Right. And you're inside. You're already inside.
And that's what the Bears want to do. They want to
already there.
Build a city within the stadium.
Yeah, you're already there, and you're hanging out. Everybody's there, and there are vendors, and there's all kinds of shit going on, and you're just like, wow, this is great. So it's basically like you're attending an event before the event.
Yeah.
And you can't do that. You cannot do that in Pittsburgh. You can't.
Well, and not only that, but, like, I mean, there's 10 home football games a year guaranteed, right? Maybe a couple more if you make the playoffs.
Well, wait, you're counting preseason games as football games.
Okay, all right.
So there are eight, events. And there are two pretend football games.
Yes. Okay.
Every
and they share
eight.
A stadium. They share a stadium with Pitt, so there's another six, right? So there are 365 days in a year. So let's say 350 of those, the stadium's not being used, right? I think to Ben's point, that if you want to maximize your investment, you want to find other uses for that facility, whether it's concerts, whether it's like, hey, we've got a pretty nice dining hall space. You can have your corporate Christmas party here or whatever it is, you know? And they have an okay area. I've been to a couple things like that at Heinz Field. It's okay.
It ain't bad. Yeah, it's not, you're right. It ain't bad.
Right. It's better than PNC Park. Yes. I've been to some there too, and it was awful. It wasn't awful, but like PNC Park's like gathering space is really narrow. It's long and narrow. Small. Whereas Heinz Field's is pretty good. But nevertheless, like, you know, you want to be able to use the stadium for other stuff. And not only that, like for your team, you know, the Steelers practice and training facilities are miles away from the stadium where they play.
And those also need updated.
They also share it with a college team.
Yeah.
And supposedly the college team side is nicer.
It is.
Right. There's other teams that kind of have all that shit in one giant complex together.
So in other words,
no disrespect at all to Ian. I know that he's a huge Kenny Chesney fan. Though he sucks donkey balls. Events like Kenny Chesney coming to Heinz Field, Acrisure Stadium, are necessary. They are.
Oh, absolutely. But the other thing too is you only have a certain window with which to host those because it's an outdoor stadium. You're not bringing Kenny Chesney in February.
No?
Yeah.
What about January? What about January?
Maybe
December?
And I'm just, you know, I thought about this today in anticipation for the show, and I understand that there's a large Steelers fan base. It's boomers, and that's fine. I don't look down on you. I love your music. I am an old soul as well. But what
he's about to insult you.
Yes, yeah. I am. But you know, the Buffalo Bills just broke ground on a stadium, and it is open. It is still open, but it is so fucking modern, and it's just so nice, and it's contemporary, and it's just banging. And then you look at Heinz Field, and you're like, wow, this is just so amateur. And I thought about this on Monday night. So Dead and Company played their final. It's their final tour. They played it. I do like the Grateful Dead, but I do not like John Mayer, and I'm just gonna be honest.
Wait a minute. Is John Mayer playing with the Dead? Is that what
John
I'm
Mayer
understand?
Is? The yeah, he leads the Dead.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And Dead fans assure me that, you know, it like John Mayer doesn't make it about himself, but you know, I also listened to Your Body is a Wonderland many years ago, and I hate myself for that. But anyway,
I don't really hate John Mayer. I do hate the Dead, but it mainly has to do with the fact that I associate the Grateful Dead with like hippies and patchouli and body odor.
Ben,
I saw some photos from the concert.
All the above, Ben. Yeah. All the above.
Dirty fucking hippies.
Anyway, so getting back to the point, they played it in Burgettstown, and if any Pittsburghers are watching, we refer that to as Star Lake. And
speaking of
the pavilion
bands,
in Burgettstown,
Dave's playing
yes,
out there
on.
At Burgettstown.
Yeah. Yes, so it was always Star Lake. Then they changed a lot of names. You know, First Niagara Pavilion, Key Bank Pavilion.
It's the pavilion in Burgettstown, is what it is.
Coca-Cola Amphitheater, whatever fucking sponsor they could throw in there to make some money, you know, whatever. It's always going to be Star Lake. Anyway, on Monday night, the traffic was so horrific to get there that most of the people I know missed the first set. Okay. Wow. And that's, I'm talking that, like, yeah, the, like the it was Ian. There, Ian is a Pittsburgh guy, you know. Yes. That was all. It was all over Twitter. Was the talk of the town. Yeah. Nobody could even get to the show. So then I'm sitting there thinking, like, huh, What if there was a whole destination north of the city where there were multiple ways to get there? Okay. 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 Yeah. Hear me out. And there's a concert venue that's big. There is a new football facility. There's a new stadium. There's some entertainment. There's some shopping. There's whatever the fuck you desire. And it is a destination to go to. So it's not just about a stadium. It's a destination.
No, it happens to be in Cranberry.
Wherever. Evan City, Cranberry, Grove City, fucking Mercer. I don't care. Put them on the shores of Goddard State Park and Lake Wilhelm. Hallelujah. I don't care. I'm just saying that there needs to be something better than Acrisure Stadium and former Three Rivers, whatever. I've had some drinks.
I think that was part of their concept when they developed Heinz Field, because they had that big like plaza area under the scoreboard where in theory, and they had like concerts and stuff there in that plaza area because there were no seats blocking it from the rest of the stadium. Like you could put a stage on that plaza and then have people down on the field. And they did that for a while. And then they were like, well, fuck this. We're going to build some seats that go up higher and block this all off.
Hey, we don't have enough seats to host the Super Bowl or whatever. And then they just kept building and building, and now they have no more room.
Right,
and it's like, listen, I understand you want football to be played outdoors, and I'm not even against that. But, like, you got to fucking keep up with the times here, and it can't just be PNC Park is still relevant. Heinz Field is outdated.
But it isn't just about whether or not the stadium is outdated or not nice enough or keeping up with the Joneses. It's about finances, right?
Yes.
So
that's where I want it to ultimately go.
You know that at the end of the day, your stadium isn't quite up to snuff. It's not going to generate as much revenue as competing stadiums, and so you're going to be behind when you're competing for players and putting product on the field. But
and facility,
in order to finance that new stadium, you need to have events there year fucking round.
Yes,
which means you got to have a dome, which sucks because all of us, including myself, want to see football played in the elements. We do.
Yep.
I thought about this the other day because the last time, not this past tournament, but the 2021 NCAA tournament, the first round were at PPG Paints.
Yeah.
And it was a great time
to go to those. Yeah.
Great fucking time. Like I went with my buddy. It was fucking fantastic.
Yep.
I remember being like, how the hell does Pittsburgh never get a Sweet 16? And it's like, because we don't have a draw. Like, there's nothing else left. So, like, now you got a dome stadium, and you could fill in 45,000, 40 to 45 PPG Paints seats 20. Like, there has to be something there to want people to come here. And there's just nothing. There's nothing there.
No, and it's I think it's going to happen eventually. I think fans need to get ready for it. It's going to happen.
Well, it'll be like 2030 or you know.
Apologies, yeah, not 40 to 45 for Sweet 16. 20 to 30, something like 30 max. Well, but when you have a facility in a complex like that, and you offer so many other amenities, it doesn't always have to be about football. And I feel like the Steelers get so caught up in football when this is the truth. Taylor Swift's about to shake her ass here soon. Okay. Yep. And she can only seat, 60,000. If they had more room, they would sell out. Yes. There's no question. Yes.
And so what you're saying is you're going to Taylor Swift. Is that what I'm hearing?
Are you a Swiftie?
I'm going to say this. Casey is about to speak.
That was not a story. No.
And Love Story was in the top 40 for the year that I'm about to mention.
So, okay? So is that a yes or a no? Or are you wasn't a no. going to Taylor
okay,
Swift?
Okay, so I'm going to say this about Taylor Swift.
Are you so going nice or not?
You won't I'm answer
not going. I'm not going. I'm not going. All right. Okay. But I will say this about her. She played a recent show in the rain, and she played the whole time, and I respect the hell out of that.
Nashville.
And I don't like her. I don't like her music. I don't like her fans. It's all annoying to me. But when you're an artist and you go out there and you fucking do your job through the rain, sleet, uh-huh. snow, whatever, I respect that. So yeah. Kudos to her for doing that in the last, you know,
since we're
weeks.
Talking about
now, go ahead and insult her.
Singers, I did want to mention, and I really should have led the show with this, the fact that Duck Hodges has been dating a country music singer for like 2.5 years. I don't know how I didn't lead with that tonight. It seemed to catch everybody off cool. guard on Twitter.
You may have thought Duck's greatest triumphancy was that win in San Diego or L.A. a long time ago.
No way.
I'm not going to tell you what to do, but, you know, maybe watch a few Lainey Wilson videos or that's right. some songs or whatever. And then, you know, when report back to me and tell me what his greatest win was.
Yeah. Duck's doing okay for
when
himself.
You underestimate Duck Hodges, you're making a mistake. Right?
I'm drunk. Sorry.
When you underestimate Duck Hodges, you're making a mistake. I mean, we did when he rolled in out of Sanford as a number four quarterback.
I can repeat that, George. Sorry, go ahead.
You know, we were like, whatever, this guy's fodder for camp. He's a camp arm. Then they brought him back, made him the number three. Then eventually he was the fucking starter because, you know, basically Mason sucks. But, you know,
you're a prick.
It all comes back to that, though, doesn't it?
Still love you. You're a prick, though.
But
it's like the six degrees of Kevin Bacon. It all comes back to Mason.
Point being, underestimating that guy is a mistake. I mean, he, as mediocre as he is, he's not a talented quarterback. Let's be frank. He led that team to some wins. He did. Yeah. He was the spark the offense needed in that moment.
Arizona and LA that year. That was,
yeah.
I mean,
he made a lot of mistakes. He did.
Yes.
But he made them fearlessly. Man. And if you could meld Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges into one person, that would be a good quarterback. I am just telling you.
I'm with you. I agree.
Right now, like if you could give Mason Duck Hodges brains and guts, holy shit, he'd be a good quarterback. Oh. He would.
Getting into some deep stuff.
Saying,
is Casey Kasem ready?
Boy, oh boy, it's been a few weeks, but yes, okay. he can be here soon.
All right. Well, Casey's man,
hold on a second.
All right, well, while Ryan gets ready, I'll make a point.
Yes,
thank you, Ian.
Saw it. Sure, I'll buy you some time here. You know, we were so spoiled with Roethlisberger for so many years that, mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. we don't, you know, like now we're like, oh, we've got Kenny Pickett who's fine, he's not great, but he's not terrible, he's fine, you know. But we'll see what happens. But for Duck Hodges, like if there had been like a level down from the NFL, like maybe XFL, USFL, whatever you want to call it, like if there was a true farm system for the NFL, like mm-hmm. Major League Baseball has, or like even the NBA has with the G League, or like the NHL has with the, you know, with the AHL,
Myers,
right? Like Duck Hodges would have been, well, Tommy Maddox was the XFL MVP, right? Like,
right.
You know, Duck Hodges was at that level. Like he would have been a pretty darn good, like, next tier quarterback. He just wasn't an NFL quarterback, but mm-hmm. at that next tier down, like if he still wanted to play football, he would be fun as hell to watch in like the XFL or the USFL or one of these
Duck
other
Hodges
leagues.
Got cut by a couple of CFL teams after he left the Steelers.
Did he?
Yeah,
like the Canadian Red Hawks.
Yeah,
or some
it wasn't.
Shit.
Yeah,
the Ottawa Rough Riders.
Nah,
have you watched maybe. Any of these like XFL games though? Like they're brutal.
They're brutal.
Like, Ben DiNucci was like their leading passer, and you know, I love Ben DiNucci because he went to Pine Richland and is a local kid, but
I mean,
still, I'm like, oh, it's some of them are brutal.
I watched the last few minutes of a game the other night in the USFL. It was terrible. Yeah. I mean, just terrible.
Wait, Ian's stealing your idea conversation. Ian's been talking about 4A players for 5 years. Ian has literally been talking about 4A players as opposed to AAA or Major League 4A players for 5 years. I shit you not, Joe. This is not a new concept for Ian at all.
Yeah. So to Ben's point, I didn't use the term 4A players, but basically it's you think about baseball, like AAA is the top minor league, and then you get to the major leagues, but you have these guys who are too good for AAA, but not good enough for the major leagues. Yeah, so you call them 4A. Like 4A players because they're too good to be in AAA, but they're not good enough to be major league players.
The bigs.
Yeah. And the Steelers have had guys like that, like Chris Rainey and, you know, Dree Archer in some respects that were like, you know, when Dree those Archer, guys,
no.
Okay. Let's say Chris Rainey, right?
Yeah.
When Chris Rainey played in the preseason against backups, he lit them up. When he had to play against starters, he was terrible. Yeah. So, like, Chris Rainey is like the perfect example of a 4A player that it was like he was too good to play against the backups, but not good enough to play against the starters. So, what happens to him?
Yeah.
You know, he had some off field issues too. But Ryan, I bought you some time with my rants.
So. All right. Let it...
Josh Dobbs was like that too.
Yeah, Josh Dobbs is another.
He was amazing in the preseason.
Yeah.
Got himself a job. They cut Landry Jones. Fucking huge mistake.
Man.
If Landry Jones had played that game in Oakland, we would have made the playoffs that year.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
The thing about Josh Dobbs too. Sorry. Ben got me fucking started.
Yeah, I can tell.
Yeah.
4A players, man.
Yeah.
4A players.
The thing about Josh Dobbs though
I feel like Keith Richards just waiting for fucking Triumph to get off the stage or something like that.
Like, in my case, the spin I love doctors. Triumph.
All right. Rick Emmett, underrated. I'm just saying. Like, no, I'm just teasing.
Dobbs made a name for himself in college because he like led a bunch of game-winning drives at Tennessee, and he was super fun to watch because he could run, he could throw. He had a pretty decent arm for a college quarterback, and he could really zing it in there. And his problem was he had no touch on the ball, right?
Nope.
When you had to ask him to throw like a touch pass that like to lob it into a guy, he couldn't do it. He couldn't throw a 10-yard out route, right? But if you're like
throw a deep anything,
but if you're like Josh, zing this ball into this guy, like we need to get some yards here. Yeah. Throw a 15-yard in cutting route, like boom, that ball was there, and that was if he could just get back and just rocket the ball, he was all right. But he had no touch on the ball at all. He couldn't finesse it. All right, go ahead, Ryan. I'm done.
Oh, may God have mercy on our souls for this one. Oh, KC's coast to coast, American Top 40. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the week that was June 8th, 2009. Ryan from Pittsburgh writes, Dear Casey, I'm sure you're wondering why I picked 2009 for this week's dedication. Very rarely do I go past the mid-90s, you know, a time when the lead singer of the Counting Crows was sleeping with the entire cast of Friends. You see, I graduated from Ohio University during this week in 2009. I'm not sure if you know this, but Ohio University is the premier Mid-American Conference institution, unlike Western Michigan.
Oh, here we go.
Love you, Steel Dad. Speaking of Ohio U, shout out to my fellow Mike Mitchell Bobcat fans, who Steelers fans hated for some reason, even though he embodied everything that it is. And they still hate him, even though he embodied everything that was a Pittsburgh Steeler. I digress, Casey. I knew there was a reason I stick to all the old hits on this show, and it became perfectly clear as I looked at the charts for this week in 2009. At the time, those songs were fun to sing at every bar on Court Street in Athens, Ohio. But looking back, my goodness, do these songs absolutely suck. Blame it on the alcohol. By the way, prayers up to Jamie Foxx. Casey, if there's anything worse than the top 40 songs from this week in 2009, it's Matt Canada's offense. Much like the last offseason, the Sunshine Crew is already saying that the national talking heads are sleeping on this offense. Hey, how'd that work out for you last year? You've literally had 2 years to watch Canada's offense, and you believe all of a sudden this offense gives you hell. That song was number 27 on the charts this week back in 2009, thanks to the All-American Rejects, but that is not the song I chose. Casey, let me turn my swag on for a second. After all, I'm yours. Casey, my life would suck without you. If today was your last day, would you kiss me through the phone? Boom, boom, pow, Casey. You can read my poker face. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas. The old me is dead and gone. Ryan, I'm going to stop you right there. If you ever write to me about a week that came after 1995, well, it'll be the last letter you ever write me. I will strangle you from beyond the grave. But since you are our most dedicated correspondent, I'll give you a second chance, which is up 7 spots this week to number 11. Here's Shinedown with Second Chance. Wow. That was fucking horrible. If you still like me after that, so be it.
That was pretty good.
The route you took to get there was the most circuitous route. It was like trying to get from the North Hills to the South Hills when there's bridges closed in Pittsburgh for construction.
Whatever.
It's like, you got to go over here and then down there, you got to go out to Moon and get on a parkway. And then,
hey, listen, take 51 to the Sewickley Bridge, get by the airport, come back down. You know
exactly. That was wonderful.
I honestly had to check to make sure that Casey was alive in 2009, and he was. He was. He didn't die till 2014. So,
well, you got to understand, my family buried me and froze my head after.
Yeah, I still don't know if he's buried.
Did they really do that?
Yeah, they shaved my head. They froze. They cryogenically froze my head and they buried the rest of me.
They pulled a Ted Williams on him. Yeah.
Seriously, they cryogenically froze his fucking head.
Yeah. That big, God. Well, there was a big court battle between his wife and his kids.
So they're just gonna try and bring that back to life. It'll just be a head by itself.
Yeah.
In 2126.
What is it? Dennis Leary, I'm an asshole. You know that song by Dennis Leary? When he's like, you ever take a cold shower? Because he's talking about John Wayne's frozen. He's like, John Wayne's frozen. He's not dead. He's like, you ever take a cold shower? Multiply by 20 million fucking times. And that's how pissed off the Duke is going to be when he comes back to life. That's how Casey's going to be. Wait, listen. What happens if what is it the Messiah is Casey? Oh, man, that would be fucked up.
Oh, wow. Shit. We've gone for 90 minutes on this program.
I heard your back where you missed
and
this.
I don't know that we've accomplished a damn thing.
It's the off-season.
It's off-season football, it's off-season. We're trying to get ready for camp, Mark.
I know.
We're working out here. All right.
We're working out our livers.
We're working out our that too.
Thanks to our fans for tuning in.
If anybody's still here, bless y'all.
Thank you. 14 hearty souls still here. God love
you. You guys are the best.
And thanks to everybody that listens at their own leisure. And make sure you check out the website, stillcityblitz.com. Check us out on our socials and all that other good stuff. And thanks again to Deck Roofing for being our wonderful podcast sponsor. And for these guys, we are signing off. This has been the SCB Steel. What did I say? Oh, yeah. SCB Steelers Podcast presented.
You know the name of our show?
By Deck Roofing Incorporated of South Florida. And hey, go Steelers.
And hey, Ravens suck.